She said she called it nothing. And a lot of us, what happens with us is that when we're under pressure, we don't see what we have, we don't understand it, and so we're not asking for a strategy, we're just counted as nothing. So the prophet told her, he didn't give her relief, he said, well, here's what I'm doing, I'm gonna give you a strategy.
Welcome to the Wealth Builders Podcast. Boy, do I have something special for you. In a recent podcast we were recording with David and Melta Briggs, we had a conversation offline afterwards that we recorded because it was so good. So we're going to share this amazing behind the scenes with you today.
So they're fearful to get in the game. Whatever. They get their first house. It wasn't about getting a house. It's not about getting 10 houses. Watch how their mentality changes. Watch how they think. Watch how they move from wanting relief to release, and they start thinking about strategy instead of a miracle. They're not trying to get out of something. They're beginning to think. All the greater miracles in the Bible, people ask God for a miracle, he'd give them a strategy. He never would give, he'd give them a strategy first.
Give me an example.
For example, is you take the woman at the well.
Yeah.
I'm not the woman at the well, the woman that had two sons in 2 Kings.
Yeah.
She came to Elijah, and her husband was a wonderful preacher, but a lousy money manager. Mm-hmm. And she came to Elijah and she said, listen, I want to ask you, she said, you know my husband. We all have strengths and weaknesses. You know my husband. And he left us in debt, and the creditors are come to take my boys away. So she was under extreme pressure because there was debtor's prison. And he said, well, what do you want me to do about it? And then he asked her a question. He said, what do you have in your house? Now, all she wanted was a miracle.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't have anything but a little pot of oil. So, you know, don't despise the day of small beginnings, small things. All, you know, we could little as much when God's in it, you know, whatever. But the limitation is that she looked at it, and because what she had was not able to meet her needs, she didn't steward what she had. She said, she called it nothing. And a lot of us, what happens with us is that when we're under pressure, we don't see what we have, we don't understand it, and so we're not asking for a strategy, we're just counted as nothing. So the prophet told her, he didn't give her relief. He said, well, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to give you a strategy. I want you to go. So nothing's changed in her condition. Mm-hmm. The pressure's getting greater because the creditors are coming. Mm-hmm. So the pressure is getting greater and greater. He said, I want you to go out and send your sons out to borrow empty vessels. In other words, don't borrow, you know, a cup of sugar or whatever. Right. You borrow emptiness. And that word emptiness, that really comes from the word redeeming the time and all that. That really means go borrow an opportunity. Because the word topos in John chapter 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in all of me. In my father's house, my father's family, are many mansions, a place to fit. And I go to prepare a place for you. It's not just a position of rule, but it's an opportunity. How many times do we don't grow? Because we don't seize opportunity. And it said, so go borrow emptiness. Now, why would you tell someone who doesn't have anything to go borrow emptiness? You're not saying don't, they're not, so you're giving them a strategy, you're not giving them a handout.
Wow.
So they go borrow all the empty vessels. Her emotions are still, are connected to the pressure, right? They go out and borrow all these vessels. Now, she said, okay, I've got all these vessels. Now what do I do? So he gave her another strategy. He didn't give her an answer. He said, now go take what you despise and call nothing, and I want you to pour out of your pot into those pots. So they shut the door, and so she's pouring, trying to fill up all these empty vessels with what she had. Something happened in the process to where she changes her whole attitude, her demeanor, or whatever. The creditors are closer than they've ever been. The pressure and the problem is greater than it's ever been. But she's pouring and she's filling up all these pots. And then she yells to her sons, bring me yet another vessel. So that tells me she changed her attitude about what mm-hmm. she had in stewardship. Now she has a believability that her little pot can fill up every vessel and I want more vessels. So she's changed the way that she thinks.
Wow.
Then she said, Mom, we can't. We borrowed every vessel in town. So now she's sitting in a house with a bunch of oily pots filled and said, you know, the oil stayed. She still hadn't gotten an answer. And she goes to the prophet, now what? I've got a house full of oily pots. And now the creditors are all at the door. He gave her another strategy. He said, I want you to go sell the oil, pay off the debt, and retire, and you and your boys live off the rest of your life.
Oh my gosh.
So what happened was, God, that's the first woman God ever put in the oil business. That's the first, that's the first picture of microfinance. But the process was she was asking for relief, not release.
Yeah.
I mean, relief, not release. So embedded deep within her limitations, in her crisis moment, mm-hmm. and what she was a divine strategy for a supernatural outcome. And a lot of people never get there because they take what they have in their limited thinking. You know, that's why the Bible said that God was upset because they limited the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
So when we walk in limitations, we'll never get to the end result because instead of asking for a strategy, and this is where I think wealth builders and everything is so important, we give people strategies, systems. We're bringing them from their immediate desired need to a strategy to get what they need. And so that's just one example. Without going into a long discourse, same thing when the disciples fed the 10,000. They were out for 3 days in the mountains. Right? Mm-hmm. People were hungry. There was 10,000 people. And Jesus said, feed them. And they said, well, how can we feed them? You know, 200 penny worth, even if we could get to a market, we couldn't buy enough food mm-hmm. to feed them. A little boy came up and had a small sack lunch, right? So what happened was, Andrew said, well, what is this amongst so many? Again, limiting mm-hmm. What they had, calling it nothing because they were wanting a miracle. And yet Jesus gave them a strategy. He said, well, here's what I'll tell you to do. Go set them in companies of 50. He said, set them down. I will bless this and break it into 12 equal pieces. It's not hard to break a sack lunch into 12 equal pieces.
Right.
If I'd have been the disciple, said, Jesus, I'll bless it and break it. You go out and feed
500 people. Don't send me out there,
you know,
right?
We're looking for the easy part. So they did. And can you imagine what they're doing mostly? They called it nothing. And so they're breaking. Can you imagine going out to a group of 50 people or a city of 10,000? And now you have just a 12th part of a sack lunch and you're out there encountering them. Say, here, you know, Jesus got out in the hot sun and, you know, he thinks, so just take a little bit. Something happened and changed in their thinking as they begin to participate in breaking that limitation. As they begin to pass out food, all of a sudden they got so carried away that they fed 10,000 people and had 12 basketfuls remaining or left over. And so why was there 12 baskets left over? Because they started breaking it into more than it was needed. The miracle happened in their hands, but they had to change their thinking. Yeah. Jesus never gave them a miracle first. He gave them a strategy. And so that's the whole point behind getting a strategy, a business plan, a business model, coaching. What are you giving people? You're not saying, hey, how do I prosper? How do I get rich? You say, well, no, wait, I'm not going to give you riches. I'm going to give you a system. You move from strategy to systems,
right,
to operations to tactics. That's how anything. So the methodology. So what happens is you're changing and breaking off limited thinking in people, because that's, so it's the, and you go through just scripture after scripture, you know, when they polished their shields and dug a ditch and filled with water. So if you look at the major miracles in the Bible, what always came first was a divine strategy. So that's why I say,
like Jericho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jericho, and so you just look at them all and it'll just come alive to you. But the whole point is, I believe that in every challenging moment, in every limited thinking, in every crisis moment, whether it's family, relationships, marriage, work, whatever, you're going to have problems that come. You're going to have things. But sometimes we cry out, God, give me a miracle. And I believe in miracles. Yeah. But really, if we'd get mature enough to say, God, give me a word, give me divine strategy, speak to me. And then what happens? I believe that embedded in every one of those crisis moments, there's a divine strategy for a supernatural outcome. And we don't get to the supernatural outcome because we're not listening for the strategy. We're not asking for the strategy. So we bypass that because of the pressure and just say, give me a miracle.
Wow. And I think sometimes God, he's not trying to withhold from us. He's trying to grow us. And if we just got a miracle every time, we wouldn't mature and grow.
A handout, that's all it does. What does it do? If all you do with your children is give them money every time they want ice cream, but you don't teach them how to do their chores and work, you don't teach them how to save money. So what are you passing on? You're passing on a spirit of poverty. You're passing on a mindset of welfare. You're saying, look to your source, not within yourself, not in your maturity. It's like Naaman the leper, you know, whenever Elijah didn't come out and greet him, send his servant out there. And he said, hey, look, here's what I want you. He said, go dip in a muddy Jordan. And he got all his attitude all messed up. Why should I go to the Jordan? And his servant said, let me ask you a question. If he asked you to do some great thing, would you do it? He said, well, then why can't you do the chores? Why can't you do the smallest thing? And sometimes where we miss it is not in, we're trying to get into physics and we hadn't learned that 2 + 2 = 4.
Wow.
And then we abandon 2 + 2 = 4 because we think we're going to let go for something greater. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the process of maturity, not just in age, but in learning, is you're building line upon line. And so if you don't pay attention to the learning curve, to get into the game and start something in life, in walking with God, knowledge in the Bible, where do you start? You start somewhere and that builds for you the next thing that you face. And then what happens with that in my mind is it's not imagined that God doesn't do miracles, but the centurion, what did he say? The faith that impressed Jesus was, he said, I don't need you to come lay your hands on me. I'm a man under authority. I understand it. So just speak the word only. And Jesus said, well, I hadn't found any greater faith in Israel than this. It was the maturity to understand. I understand the word. I can get to the miracle quicker and I can release it because I know how to cooperate with it. Mm. That's maturity. It's not just getting the handout because you don't grow mature. And thank God I've had relief. I've had healing. I've had miracles and I believe in them. I believe there's a time to give a handout. Yeah. There's a time. But yet if I'm going to live life and mature and become responsible to believe God to survive in life, I've got to mature. And that has more to do with understanding the mechanics, the word of God, the nature of God. So I don't have to have somebody feed me. I can feed myself.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Because what I found in the Christian world, I guess because I was so hungry when I got saved and so messed up that it was truth that set you free, the truth that you live in. So truth, whether it's about business, life, whatever, is that with Christians, we have a tendency to devalue something that's not what we call, quote, spiritual. This is why I appreciate Bill and Beck, also Lance Wall now, I think, because they're taking it out of the church Sunday morning shout world into real life.
Yeah.
And the thing that happens with Christians will not surrender to a level of acceptance to anything that isn't elevated to be something spiritual. So sometimes when you call wealth builders or whatever, real estate, we're not paying attention with the same ears that we got saved because we haven't gotten a theology over it. So the reason I keep going back to scripture and those things is not to be preachy. Sometimes I get preachy, but it's not to be preachy. It's the word ever, you know, is the word klesis means the invitation. So, you know, every believer, we've talked about this before, every believer has five things. You know, one is a vocation or a klesis, an invitation. So what happens if you can build an altar of theology around a concept or a precept, it elevates it to preaching, prophesying, lay hands on the sick, all the stuff that we celebrate, that we call, quote, ministry. So if we can lay a theology, then what happens to believers, instead of separating secular and sacred, we can build and have an altered moment. And what that means is when we go to the altar, then we can surrender to the altar or the grace that allows us to elevate that to the same level of importance spiritually as these other things we call spiritual. And so then if we can receive that and answer that calling or that invitation, now we have vowed a vow of commitment to something that has a spiritual connection that's deeper than just, oh, that's a good idea, or that's a thought, or, okay, yeah, that's a mentoring. So now we're our responsibility to respond and grow becomes greater because we've surrendered to an altar and a theology, which becomes a belief system.
Wow.
Instead of just hearing a good idea or a good teaching or whatever, I can take it or leave it. Because once you come to an altered moment or an awakening in your life, yes, about something, there's a different commitment to it because it's become a burning, living reality to you. So for Christians, sometimes there has to be a theology to elevate it, to accept it. Otherwise, it's, oh, that's business talk or that's this talk.
Right.
So they devalue it. And that's the thing. If value is assigned by desire. It's the buy-in and the buy-out. So a lot of times we won't buy into something because we haven't valued it enough to elevate it, to pay the price to get it. It's the buy-in and the buy-out, what we're willing to pay to get something and what we're willing to receive to let it go. It's on a sliding scale.
Wow.
And so when we assign value, God so loved the world, he assigned a value to it that he gave his only begotten son. You and I on the open mineral market are not worth more than $4.50 currently. And yet God gave his son for something that's only worth about $4.50 on the boiled down mineral market. So he assigned values driven by desire, love, and that made him liquid to pay a price. Because so it's getting on the same value. Mm-hmm. So that's a sliding scale in us. So when we build altered moments, then what happens? We increase value and makes us liquid and we're willing to pay the price. We're willing to lay hold. And now our drive, our desire, our determination is driven by a spiritual value instead of, well, that's a good teacher or that's a good idea.
Yeah, because a spiritual, yeah, that is where everything's kind of released through that. Yeah. So without a connection, it's empty. It's why people in the, yeah, world are empty.
And that's, yeah, why, you know, Billy has got the, for example, you, y'all have the maturity to make these things work. I mean, I've been around you long enough and I've been around Billy long enough and that the expertise and the practicality of you've done it, you're subject matter experts in what you're in. But what the richness of that is, like Lance Wall now, what makes the Seven Mountains teaching so rich is not just the revelation. And what's given him access and interest is he's elevated to a spiritual, that's a living thing inside of you. You have living things inside of you. So whether you're staging a home or you're talking about marketing, that comes from a different assigned place spiritually. And yet you have the experience to validate. So you move from the revelation to the application. So not only can you believe that it's spiritual, but now you're connected to someone that can disciple you to that experience.
That's
the subject matter expert. So I could get up and bilge out a bunch of stuff about real estate, for example. I could actually parrot everything that Billy Eppard says. Some of his stories I can tell better than he does. But it won't have the same effect.
Yeah.
Because I have parroted something, but he's lived something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when he's sharing that, it's still spiritual and all, and you all connect things to the kingdom, right? But it comes out of the depth of maturity. That's what I'm talking about getting older. It comes out of the seasoned maturity of the application of that, that gives it a richness.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's, you know, now it's more than just a talk. It's not, it's, so the science or the mechanics of it is real because you've done it. But it's on a foundation of a spiritual kingdom issue that people have surrendered to something that's greater than just knowledge. Because you can take knowledge and take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's not a lie.
You know, years ago, we were just struggling financially, and I was really crying out to God, you know, God, I don't understand. We give when nothing's working, you know. Yeah. And God gave me an equation. I love math. And he gave me an equation that your giving is multiplied by your spiritual understanding, and that equals your harvest. So if there's something missing in the harvest, there's either something missing in your giving or there's something missing in your understanding.
Wow.
And I said, well, God, I know giving, we got that down. We've been given for years above and beyond, you know. And in fact, if he forgot his wallet at home when we went to church, I wouldn't tell him because he'd empty it, you know. And so the Lord just began to show me. And I said, well, God, spiritual understanding is what I need. And God just began to take me on this journey of learning his heart, because I didn't really know his heart. Because I felt like God's up there with all this great, wonderful stuff. And if we do everything just right, he might let just a little bit down.
Yes.
You know. But in the Bible, when God provided a miracle, it was always in abundance. Always in abundance. And one of the examples God showed me, if I take my watch and Karen, I ask you what time it is, can you tell me?
Not without it turning around.
Well, it's got a battery in it and it's working, but you can't tell me what time it is because we're not looking at the right side of it.
Yeah, that's so good.
And so God began to take the word that I'd been studying through Bible school and through the years and just taking it and turning it around and letting me see the beauty.
Wow.
And so, but it's like he said, it's that understanding.
Yeah.
And how you guys bring that understanding to people. This is how you can do it.
Wow.
So
that is amazing.
But our lives changed after that. Our financially, I mean, nothing changed in our jobs or our salaries. It just, something clicked. It's like that farmer says, I don't know how it happened. I planted something and I come out today and there's harvest. And so, you know, it's amazing.
That's so
what
good.
God does.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Wasn't that amazing? Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you and make it a great rest of the day.